to, and each week we visit with our 98Q sports reporter, Mr. Mike Clemens. Nice enough to join us. Mike, good morning to you.
Good morning, Joe. How are you doing?
Well, good. He's surviving OTAs, those optional team activities or whatever they're called there. How's that going this week for you?
Yeah, organized team activities.
Organized.
Voluntary. And there was an interesting story this week that the players union said, you know what? We will show up to training camp early. Mm-hmm. Like if you want to start it in mid-July, early July or something like that. If you just cancel all this, the rest of this off-season stuff.
Let us stay in Jamaica for a while longer, right? Don't you
well,
saying.
It's either that or there's something to it. Because, you know what the bottom line to this is, Joe?
What's that?
The 18-game season is coming.
Mm-hmm.
And then after that, the 20-game season
yeah.
is coming.
Yeah.
I mean, the owners, that's where they make their money. They make money in the preseason games. They really make the money on the regular season games. And, of course, when they go to the postseason, and they're even talking about expanding that and talking about adding more teams to the league. So for the players, it's who did I talk to about this? Was it Kenny Clark? No, Josh Myers, the center. I talked to him about this. I said, okay, so, you know, you play the 49ers, you lose, you know, a couple weeks out left in the season in the playoffs. So then, you know, does it take like a month, 6 weeks for your body to heal?
Yeah.
He said, yeah, you know, you don't want to do anything. You've got to let these bruises that have been with you or scratches, or sometimes a lot of guys, Brady Popinga, former linebacker of the Packers, says everybody has work done at the season. There's a snip for something just about everywhere on your body. That's how tough that business is.
That's crazy.
So you do that for, you know, in February and March. And then you got to start getting back in the weight room. And you got to start spending 4 or 5 hours a day, if not more, you know, working on your craft, weights and running and all that kind of stuff. And the next thing you know, you got some meetings to show up for in April. And then you've got to go to these OTAs, voluntary, they put that in quotes.
But if you don't show up, they're like, how come you're not here?
Well, everybody, get talked about in the paper, and we make a big stink about it and whatever. But there's also some roster bonuses that some guys have that are involved. And then you got a mini camp in June, and then, okay, we'll take it like another month off, and then you got to show up to training camp. And it just kind of goes up and down and up and down. I would think as a coach, as a teacher, particularly with, you know, a younger team, the repetition is your friend, right?
Right.
Rather than trying to start to cram things in during a training camp, that you would like it spaced out that way. Because it's not like they're banging heads. They're not putting on shoulder pads during this time. They're playing flag football.
Sure. We always want to talk about Jordan Love and the offense, of course, because that's what sells the big offensive stuff. But the defensive side, Mike, with Jair Alexander in the seventh year and the injury for Eric Stokes, he can come back from that. And the new guy from the Giants. So, there's some questions there on defense, some guys that they're looking for big things from, right?
Yeah. Eric Stokes practically got run over by a truck in November of 2022 on that turf field at Ford Field. His leg got rolled up on in the middle of a tackle, and it just destroyed his foot and his knee. And about a month later was the first time I saw him back in the locker room. He was in a wheelchair, and it looked like he had pins coming out of his knee. He was in a wheelchair for a couple of months. That's how bad it was. He tried to get back on the field a couple times last year, each time having hamstrings issues because, you know, the leg wasn't ready yet to play football. Now he's had some more time to rest and rehab that injury, and he's trying to get his job back. He's a former first-round pick out of Georgia and was very speedy. So, you know, the coaches are saying, and Brian Gutekunst, the GM, saying, oh, you know, Eric's, we're going to give him a shot here. He's working really hard at it. He's a good guy, and we need him, and you know, so that they've got that. They've got pretty good depth at corner because they came up with a rookie, Carrington Valentine, and Corey Ballantyne, two different guys, was a free agent who played corners with a lot of those games they were winning later in the season.
Yeah.
Then there's Xavier McKinney, and they call him X. Everybody calls that's his nickname, X, number 29. And he's this highest paid safety they picked up from the Giants. And, you know, LaFleur said, you know something, I went out to dinner with the guy before we signed him, and right away I realized we had the dude. We had the guy.
We had
the leader. And I'm watching him at practice the other day when they're going 11-on-11, and he is all over the field. He's very vocal. He's tapping guys, you know, on the behind and say, here, scoot over here. He's lining up, you know, right off in the box. He's dropping back, and he's all over the field. And so somebody said to me, so is he like Nick Collins? You know, the great safety they had the year they won the Super Bowl.
Mm-hmm.
I said, you know what? He's rangy. He looks more like Charles Woodson back there, directing traffic.
All right.
And allowed to float all over the field. So it'll be so exciting to see what he does.
Yeah.
And then there's Jair, who had an injury, came back, then had a mysterious back injury, and ran out into the field in the kickoff of the Carolina game. He almost cost the Panthers, or the Packers, that game against the Panthers. Running out for the coin toss when he wasn't assigned to be a team captain.
Forgot about
and
that.
And then finally, Gutekunst before suspended him for a week.
Mm-hmm.
He's still very confident of himself. A little, to me, it's time for Jair to start proving it.
Well, we got a couple of games that were announced. Badgers going to play. They're not respecting Friday Night Football anymore, I guess, with high schools and stuff. But some of this is after the high school season. But NFL and college both moving into days that they never were at before. And it's all
they
about
said they never would go.
Revenue,
yeah, well,
revenue.
Prime time is where the money is.
Yeah.
That's what it is. You got to buy that third yacht, because you go on to the immediate family.
Yeah.
But what about the guests?
Yeah, exactly.
So
exactly.
They've got a game Friday night, August 30th. Now, I think a lot of the high school games are still on Thursdays that time of the season, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah.
But they're going to play Western Michigan. They're open the season Friday night, August 30th at 8 p.m., and that game is on Fox Sports 1 and on the Badgers radio network on some of our stations. And then the last game of the regular season for the Paul Bunyan Axe against Minnesota is going to be on Black Friday, the day after Thanksgiving, November 29th.
11 a.m., right?
11 a.m. on CBS.
Yeah.
So, Badger football on Friday.
Oh, people aren't paying attention to the Brewers. First of all, they're surprising a lot of people. And if you haven't tuned in much, you're going to see a lot of names that would be like, who's Sal Frey? Like, who's Jake Bowers? Who's because these are names that people are starting to embrace, I think, a little bit. But, man, just a new fun look. And will this continue? We're over 50 games into the season, and it just keeps going here, Mike.
And on top of that, like, Jake Bowers getting all this time now at first base because Rhys Hoskins, the veteran free agent they picked up from the Phillies, is dealing with a hamstring injury right now. Now, Jake had a couple of errors in the game the other day, but I mean, he's got a great bat, and they're making some great defensive plays. And Sal Frelick is the kid who was really impressive in spring training last year, had a thumb injury. Eventually, they brought him on. He's shorter. He's as bright and as interesting a kid as can be. You talk about role model. This guy could one day end up, on a box of Wheaties. He's learning. They thought that maybe he could play third base, but they had such great competition in training camp, they moved him back to the outfield. But, I took this trip with the team to Boston last weekend.
Yeah.
And sometimes when you're on the road, you can learn even more about these guys. It was Pat Murphy, actually, in his office before the game, talked about how much he liked Frelick. He says, and then when he took that dog in during training camp, during spring training, and we're like, what are you talking about? So there's going to be a whole story you're going to hear coming out from Adam McKelly from Major League Baseball, MLB.com, where, it was an end of a long day out there in Arizona, and just before he got in the car, empty parking lot, he hears this barking, and there's this little pooch there, and he goes and kind of checks it out and sees there's no place else to go and some storms coming up, took the dog back to his place where he stays there during spring training, and got it cleaned up and fed and that and tried to, be able to turn it in. And I think he actually was finally able to, the whole story, what he did for that dog. And it's just like, the guy's got a huge heart. He cares about everything and everybody around him. Jake Bowers is sitting there in Fenway Park in the visitors' clubhouse, which is small, but I think that's kind of good in terms of team bonding, guys getting together.
Sure.
And we're looking over his shoulder, and he and Frelick are filling out a crossword puzzle. It's the L.A. Los Angeles Times crossword puzzle. And then, so somebody prints off that thing every day for him. They download it, and he's like a subscriber to it. And, you know, like typical athletes, they never just do anything casually. If they're going to do it, they're doing it to compete.
Yeah, yeah.
So now they got like an L.A. Times crossword puzzle competition going on in the Brewers Clubhouse. So they're a great bunch of guys to hang out.
And a great baseball name in Sal, that's for sure. So any stories of Fenway Park, your first trip ever there, anything that surprised you, anything stands out for you?
I'm trying not to overhype it.
Yeah.
It was magnificent. I mean, it feels...
You overhyped it.
Heaven. Now, so listen, I'm spoiled.
Yeah.
Part of the reason I went, I have not gone as a fan before. I tried once or twice. Once I went there, and it was rained out. And so I've not been able to actually see a game there. And so I got, you know, I say, but the Brewers are on there. I can get away that weekend. Mm-hmm. I'm going to go. I'm going to get full access. I want to see what this Fenway is all about. And you're sitting there, it's about the third or fourth inning on a Friday night, with beautiful temperatures, clear skies. The lighting is terrific there. The players just seem to pop on the field. The colors come alive. And then, you know, they've got a protective glass there in the press box, so we're not dodging every foul ball like we are at American Family Field. Uh-huh. But they had a window that was open, and I feel this breeze on my face. And I was like, wait a minute, that's from the ocean. I mean, it's unbelievable. And guess what? They don't have a loud, screaming scoreboard playing, you know, pounding music through the entire game. It's actually, you can hear the bats, and you can hear the ball hit the catcher's glove, and you can't help but watch the game. It's less, you know, T-shirt bazookas and more just there to watch the baseball, and it's the food is fantastic. Fantastic.
They just let the history be the experience, right? It sounds like.
I can see why it's so popular.
Yeah, fantastic. Mike, thank you so much for taking time to join us. We appreciate you. We'll talk to you next week, okay?
Thanks, Joel.
Thanks, Mike. Mike Clemens, he's our 98Q sports reporter. If you missed any of that, we'll archive it under the podcast at 98QCountry.com.